Something that we say in the support team a lot when we do get these compatibility calls is it's not if you're compatible, it's how you're compatible.
Welcome back to Around the Farm, the podcast about all things ag. I'm Julie Bonk, and today I'm joined by Zach Kaiser from the Climate Support Team.
Hi, everyone. My name is Zach. I work on the product generalist team for the Climate Field View. I kind of manage the phone lines and kind of the first line of defense for the growers that are calling in with support questions or anything of that nature when they're actively in the field or they're viewing their data at home. Usually growers kind of contact us through the phones, which is my main job, but we also have an email support chain. And then in the CAB app itself, if you're familiar with that, there's a support ticket, and we also respond to those depending on the situation, the severity of the issue. We also can get CEMs or any of our field reps that you may know, they reach out to us as well with problems they might be seeing in the field. And that kind of is what my daily job revolves around, is just managing tickets and making sure all the growers have a smooth data collection method.
Yeah, so when we think about the support team, right, we've got like different waves of defense helping our farmers, right? So you're more so on the front lines. What does it look like for the rest of the organization?
So that's a great question. Since I'm on the front lines, I kind of do a lot of the basics. We do have like a level two team, and then even that, we have a level three team, but usually us as PGs, we don't interact too much with the engineering team or the level three team, as they call it. Now, me particularly, I like the engineering side of things and I do work with the engineering team, but normally we do just kind of do the basics. So anything that needs to be done on the back end is handled more of the level two team or the level three team. So anything that kind of goes wrong that's easily fixable on the grower side is usually what we manage as a level one team.
Yeah. So for instance, if I'm having trouble connecting my drive to my machine and I call, I would get you first, right? And then if I experience like a higher level issue, you would escalate that higher up the chain?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. We have a way we can escalate tickets, and we kind of fill out with all the information that the grower kind of transponds onto us. And we do escalate it. And then the level two team, we'll take a look at it, and if it's a system-wide issue or something that they cannot fix with their tools, they'll have to escalate that up, because it kind of works like as a ladder system on how it goes up the chain.
This time of year, what kind of calls are you getting? What kind of issues?
This time of year especially, we're revolving into that planting season. We are getting people who are actively planting in their fields right now, so they might be putting down seed, so they might be having live mapping issues or drive connectivity, as we previously mentioned. So their drive doesn't really, you know, connect well, or they're not seeing their tractor on their CAB app, and that can cause problems with how they collect data. So we want to make sure that they're connected, and that's a big issue that we see when people are actively in the field. Other calls that we get kind of this time of year is people who don't have the drive, who are inboxing their data. So they pull the raw data from their monitor and then they import it into Climate. And sometimes the file will fail out or it just won't look correctly in the Climate platform. So we just take a look at it, make sure everything looks right. There's a little bit more kind of in-depth it goes, but that's usually what we take a look at during this time of year.
So we're getting into planting season. I know it's going on in some parts of the country. What kind of calls are you seeing right now?
Right now, a lot of the PG team calls that we're seeing is live mapping issues or drive connectivity issues. Those are the two biggest calls that we get at this time of year. That can be if a driver gets into his cab of his tractor and he's having drive connectivity. He doesn't get that solid blue light in the top of his drive. If he doesn't get that, he usually gives us a call because there's a little bit of a connection or that Bluetooth connection issue. That's a big drive issue that we see during the planting season. Now, if they're actively in the field and everything's good with the connection side of things, we do see like their map is not painting, they're not collecting data properly, or anything in that kind of regard is the biggest thing that we see during this type of year. Now, with growers that inbox their data, a lot of time during planting season, they try to inbox their planting data, and then they have trouble importing that data, and the system will fail out, and we just had to take a deeper look at that file. Those are some of the common issues we see that this time of year.
Well, that makes sense, considering all of the different parts that we have working together, that there's going to be some points where they need support.
Something that we say in the support team a lot when we do get these compatibility calls is it's not if you're compatible, it's how you're compatible.
Yeah, that reminds me of a conversation that I recently had with Brad Veal. He is a Channel Seeds pro, and he kept driving home this point that the right seed in the right place is what really drives income, and anything that can make the machinery more effective is really what's going to hedge your bet in getting the most bushels out of each acre.
And we've seen this in a really good market and guys willing to retrofit planters instead of going buying brand new. I mean, we definitely have guys buying new planters, and we've worked on some brand new planters. But also, I think we're getting a little tougher time. The guys are going to be willing to, or maybe even forced to, keep the planter they have and update it and upgrade it to better technology, because we all know the planter is the most important piece of equipment that goes across that ground. Anything you can do to tweak that, your ROI is going to be, most of the stuff we put on returns itself within a year and at most 2 years. When we put anything on there that's going to take 5 years to get your money back. Because, we know how machinery is, and by that time, it's going to be time to be replaced. As far as the wear parts, the stuff that's actually coming in contact with the ground. But even on some of the control units, the hydraulic downforce, the closing systems, the fertilizer systems, those things have a long life, but still we want that paid back within a year or two. Depending on the size of the operation, that's going to vary. But most of the time, we're paying that back within a year. I tell guys, the seed and the bag has the most yield potential. As soon as you pour it out, the yield potential starts to go down. Whatever you do to it and the weather does to it, it's just going to go downhill from there. So sticking that seed in the ground and getting them all up very even. And I think that's where we saw a lot of our yield increase in 2023.
If a farmer is trying to figure out if their equipment is compatible or how to take advantage of those compatibilities that could be built in, what would your advice be?
I would probably refer them to the Knowledge Center, and then they can go to the planting, the applicator, or the harvesting Knowledge Center link, and that will take them to a page that they can go through, each make, model, and year of their, piece of equipment, and then they can kind of refer to their exact setup, so their GPS or rate controller and all that stuff.
And so if somebody needs guidance in setting up equipment, what should they go to? The same resource or?
The same resource. So when, Ag Express, they purchase the cable through there. If they do need one, they often come with an installation guide. And then they can follow that, and then they can contact us if they need help setting up, because we do also have those guides at our disposal. And they can look at those and refer to those and make sure that they're, plugging everything in right, because, as we advance in technology, stuff is getting a little bit harder to set up properly, especially with if they have GPS, different GPS globes and everything like that. It can kind of be hard to troubleshoot issues, especially when they're setting up their equipment, because you're over the phone or you're getting emails. And that can cause a little bit more of detective skills to see exactly what's going on. And especially if you get a order grower calling in, someone who isn't, fine-tuned in the technology that we have today, setting up their equipment can be a little bit harder. But that's what I like about the job, is kind of troubleshooting and making sure everything is set up.
Yeah, and I imagine that you get to interact with a wide variety of equipment, right? Like, do you ever have a day where you're like, I didn't expect to be confronted with this piece of technology today?
Yeah. Sometimes you do get those calls, and I've been about with the company for about 8 months now, and I've seen a lot. I haven't gone through a planting season yet exactly, but I've worked with a level two team, level three team about planting issues, and working at a farm when I was a kid and even in college, I did, revolve around planting a lot. And sometimes I'll get setups that I didn't even know were compatible, or, I didn't even know how they would operate fully, but they do, and they collect data just as well as, if you have a factory setup from a Case or a John Deere.
So speaking of all the importance of setting up the equipment properly, what are some other things that a farmer can do ahead of planting just to make sure they're putting themselves in a position of success?
Great question. One of the first things that I would definitely recommend to the grower, if they are new to climate or they did purchase a new piece of equipment, would be making sure that they are compatible. We discussed that a little bit earlier, but that is one of the biggest things, to make sure the drive operates at 100%. Another thing is, if they are using any pole types or anything like that, is making sure it's set up in the cab app correctly. There can be a little bit discrepancies between, what the monitor is reading and what the cab app will read. So if they are having issues with that, they can always give us a call, the support team, and we'll be more than happy to, walk them through and make sure they're set up correctly.
Yeah. And what kind of recommendation or guidance would you give about updating the apps, right? Do they want to do it the morning of? Do they want to do it a couple of days before?
I would always make sure that they do it, you know, a couple of days before, especially if they are going to go out in that field and start planting or putting down any kind of application. Because with updates, as we know, there could be some issues that, you know, are not discovered yet. And we want to make sure that those are taken care of before they get actively in that field.
And then what about performing cloud sync? Are there any best practices?
Cloud sync, you know, whenever you do begin to cloud sync and everything like that, make sure you have a stable Wi-Fi connection or cellular connection. And then once you cloud sync, I would just verify that all your data has been uploaded to the web. And if you don't see it, I would, you know, try again. And then if you continue to see issues, you can call into support. We can give you the next steps to take.
And then I know another best practice, like when you're setting up and you're planning where you're going to go, is making sure that your field boundaries are updated, making sure that that's all in there correctly. And then, of course, as you are planting, adding as you go the seed names, the treatments, and the application so that you could really know what you're looking at the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. So like you said, adding those seed treatments, those hybrids, those varieties, there actually is a way that you can add it before you get into that field. You can do that by going to the field section of the CAB app, adding your hybrids, your seed treatments. Even if you're using a prescription, you can add it through there, and that will make your time a lot easier. People get actively get in that field, and sometimes if they have a custom hybrid or anything of that nature, it won't populate because it's not a known hybrid according to the climate system. So adding in, if you're using a custom hybrid, can be a big, big help in making sure everything goes smoothly.
That's a great recommendation. Do you have any other hacks or anything that people might want to try heading into the season?
I would say making sure that your GPS is up to date. So a lot of the globes, they put out you know, yearly updates and everything like that to make sure they're compliant with the year. So sometimes if they are in that field and they start collecting data, the CAB app will read the current date. So, you know, we are in the year 2024. And if they haven't updated their globe, it would read 2023 if they haven't updated. So then all the data that you're collecting through that monitor will come in as 2023 due to the CAB app reading what's coming off the monitor.
And how does somebody detect that that's going on or fix it?
So they can detect that by usually looking at their monitor. They can go to the GPS systems and they can view it through there. And then if they do notice they have a discrepancy, they can contact their globe provider or their GPS provider. A lot of people utilize their dealers for all kind of questions regarding that. So they can contact them and they'll get it updated for them.
So I recently spoke to Fabian Fernandez. So he's at the University of Minnesota and he specifically researches nitrogen application in fields. And I was speaking to him about how farmers can set up their on-farm trials and the kind of approach that they should take in order to make sure that they are getting the most rich data out of their trials. And what he recommended is to keep simplicity at top of mind, that you wanted to limit your variables as much as possible and keep the tests simple.
The main thing for on-farm studies is they need to be simple. Like at the university, we do a lot of research, very complicated research. Sometimes we have like 15, 20 treatments. But on an on-farm situation, with field size equipment, you have to limit the questions to maybe one or two questions, you know, maybe one, two, three, like two or three treatments, no more than that. I would say you have to make sure that you replicate the study so that you can have statistical understanding of the result. If you don't have replication, it becomes basically an observation study where you may see some differences, but you really cannot tell. Like if you did, you know, half of the field one way and another half of the field as another way, and you see differences, you cannot really tell whether those differences were related to the treatment itself or if it was just random variability. So you have to have those replications and they have to be randomized too, because we know there is variability in the field. And if you don't randomize those treatments across the landscape, you could potentially end up with, let's say that you're testing two treatments or two variables, and you put treatment A on this part of the field, where it's maybe a really bad part of the field. And so you will end up with the results and say, well, you know, treatment A is really bad. When in reality, it had nothing to do with the treatment. It had to do with the fact that that part of the field was low yielding. And so you have to replicate it so that in each part of the field, like the low yielding field, you will have both treatments. And in the high yielding part of the field, you will have those two treatments as well, replicated several times so that then you can get to seeing whether those results were related to the treatment. And so those will be kind of the major things. Keep it simple, replicate it, and randomize.
To that point, being able to replicate the trials across the farm will make sure that you have the richest data, right? So you don't want to only do a trial in one field in a good area. You want to also do it across different types of soil types or geography if you have that on your farm. And then once you have those trial results, using field region reporting and field view is just a great way to measure and discern the impact of those tests.
Absolutely. Yeah, those field region reports that you can utilize, you know, on the web or even in your applications, that you can track your varieties and hybrids to see, you know, which one outcompeted the other and see if you want to make any decisions for next year's planting season. Say, I want to plant more of this hybrid because it, you know, accrued more bushels per acre, or, you know, made more average yield than the other ones. So that's a big use for the field region reports that we see growers utilizing nowadays. Now, with the new update on the Black and Gold app, you can do it by application as well. So if you did put down some applications out there and you want to view those test results too, you can track that as well and see if you got any new average yields or anything like that.
Moving on from field region reporting and just to general practices or support, you know, if somebody's stuck on something or just a little bit curious, what kind of resources do you recommend that farmers tap into at this time of year?
One of the biggest things or the biggest tips I give growers is utilizing our Knowledge Center. They can access that from climate.com. They can go to Knowledge Center there. They can enter keywords or kind of hot words that they want to enter into that search bar, and it will bring up a couple hundred different articles about, you know, if they're having drive connectivity issues, if they're having GPS issues or anything of that nature. That would be my first kind of guidance for growers to use. And then if they're still having trouble after going through those guides, I would give us a call at our support number, and then we can walk them through the next steps and see if they have any other questions.
If a farmer finds himself in their cab and they're encountering an issue, how do they know when they can call in, or how open are you guys, right? What kind of times do you keep?
Yeah, so typically our hours are from 7 to 6. The growers can also contact us with after hours, so they can send in emails, they can send in support tickets. Now, we won't get to them until that 7 o'clock the next day, but we'll still be able to see it and see that they can still contact us after hours.
And I know that during planting and harvest season, you guys typically have extended hours or more availability on the weekend. So how can a farmer know what days you guys are open?
Yeah, I would have them check the emails that they get from Climate. And then also keep attention to our social medias. We do post our hours there. Everything's changing. So, you know, we could have more weekend hours, or whenever weekend hours go into effect, they can monitor it that way.
Thanks, Zach, for joining us today.
Thank you. Had a great time.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and share it with a friend. If you want to keep up to date on all of our upcoming episodes, go ahead and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. As always, this episode was brought to you by Climate Field View. And we'll see you around the farm.